Penguin Random House Audio presents Shelterwood, a novel by Lisa Wingate. Read for you by Christine Lakin and Jenna Lamia with Dan Bittner. Note to listeners. This audiobook includes a downloadable PDF with a listing of primary resources and recommendations for further reading from the book. For Kate Bernard and Gertrude Bonin, for all the women who came early to the battle and the little ones they fought to save, for Angie DeBow, who told the story before it could fade from history, for all the scandalous women who blazed the trails before us and refused to take no for an answer. I have been compelled to see orphans robbed, starved, and burned for money. I decided long ago that no citizen cared whether or not an orphan is robbed or starved or killed, because his dead claim is easier to handle than if he were alive. Kate Bernard, Oklahoma State Commissioner of Charities and Corrections, 1907 to 1915.
Prologue. Oklahoma, 1990. Possibly the old man made up the stories he told as he sat on the bench outside the Dairy Queen in Ada, Oklahoma. He'd spin whoppers while carving twigs with his pocket knife, a bone-handle Barlow with a blade almost worn through. Whittle and talk, and so people called him Whittles. Sargent, the state champion football boys, added in 1962, shortly after the old man first appeared in town. Sergeant Whittles, a joke about the worn-out tanker jacket with army patches on the sleeves. But Whittles could weave a tale that would make a kid's hair stand on end, and so the name became a moniker of genuine respect. As Whittles told it, he'd been a miner, a treasure hunter, a Wild West show performer, a horse thief, and too smart for his own good before he joined the army in 1914 to avoid prison time. He'd served in World War I, World War II, and Korea. He understood the folly of youth, the allure of it, and the potential consequences of its naive recklessness. He'd felt the odd thrill of cheating death, tempted it, and walked away from it more than once. He spoke of it in ways that indelibly marked his young listeners, some of whom remembered those oversized tales for years after they'd left Whittles and hanging out at the Dairy Queen behind. For that reason, when two former MVPs of the 1962 state championship football team found themselves driving through the Winding Stair Mountains, almost three decades older and 3 hours west of Ada, at the slow pace of a delivery van, the topic of Sergeant Whittles came up. A debate ensued about the veracity of a story Whittles had told them on Halloween night of their senior year. The driver thought it was true. The passenger was certain Whittles had merely been pulling their leg. The debate led to an argument. After a few hotel bar beverages on their overnight run, the argument led to a bet. The bet led to the engagement of a local guy who, for a few more beers, thought he could pinpoint on a map the area they were looking for. The map led to a stop on the return trip, and then a hike, and then a climb.
"Hey, I see something!"
the driver yells. The passenger stops, surprised to have fallen so far behind.
"Yeah? What'd you find up there?"
he wheezes, thinking maybe he'll stop where he is. The bet, the late night, the beer had been stupid. Although old Whittles probably would have gotten a kick out of it, two middle-aged guys clawing their way up a mountain miles from anywhere, all because of some crazy story from years ago.
"There's a little cave, I think,"
the leader answers.
"Like Whittles said!"
The skeptic freezes. "That can't be," he thinks. "Can it?" He stares upward into the sun while rocks tumble and bits of brush fly. His companion disappears into the side of the mountain, but he doesn't make a move to follow. because according to the way Whittles told the story, what he saw in that cave as a kid haunted him the rest of his life.
Chapter 1. Valerie Boren Odell, Tallahena, Oklahoma, 1990.
When our ancestors first came to southeastern Oklahoma, one of the first things they set their eyes on were the beautiful, forested, winding stair mountains. They are our Plymouth Rock, our Mississippi River, our Rocky Mountains, our Pacific Ocean.
Ron Glenn, Winding Stair Mountain Wilderness Bill, S-2571, Congressional Hearing, 1988.
Dear Val, why mince words? Dreams are wonderful things, but a single mother needs to be practical. Please tell me it isn't too late for you to return to your job at the Arch in St. Louis. Have you lost your mind? Tallahena, Oklahoma? I can't even find it on the map without putting on my glasses. No wonder you didn't tell us ahead of time. Kenneth has been around asking about you, by the way. You know he thought you two were becoming more than just friends. I understand grief, my dear, but you can't cling to it forever. And let's face it, if you remarried, you wouldn't have all these financial struggles. If you don't call Kenneth to iron things out, I'm telling him where I sent this postcard to. Put Charlie in the car and drive home. I know you have always been a free spirit, but it's time to grow up. Graham.
I read the postcard for the third time since grabbing it from the mail on my way to work, then survey the breathtaking valley below Emerald Vista Turnout and try to decide how much trouble I'm in. My grandmother taught high school English for more than a half century. She does not end sentences with prepositions.
Where I sent this postcard to.
She is in a mood. This note is meant to tear me up a bit, and it does. To unsettle me slightly, and it does that too. I'm in the backwoods of southeastern Oklahoma, where after a rain, the morning shadows linger long and deep, and the mountains exhale mist so thick it seems to have weight. The countryside exudes the eerie, forgotten feel of a place where a woman and a 7-year-old boy could simply vanish and no one would ever know. A puff of wind slides by, unsettling the folder I pulled from my day pack to extract the postcard. A mock-up brochure and a half dozen high-end paper samples tumble to the pavement and slide away like fallen leaves. I should chase them down, but instead, I stand frozen. My mind drifts all the way to Tallahena, where a cheery yellow house offers the only acceptable daycare, willing to watch over a boy, whose mom's new job will sometimes entail rotating days off and working odd hours. Just go get him, I tell myself. Pick him up and pack everything back into the car and go. This is crazy. All of this is crazy. Instead, I pull a slow breath. The morning air is thicker, greener, and warmer than I'm accustomed to in May. It smells of summer. Summer and earth and damp stone and shortleaf pines. Different from St. Louis in a way that whispers something so compelling my heart quickens. The yearning for wild spaces is as much a part of me as my father's gray-green eyes and thick auburn hair. He fostered that passion in me, even before a stint in Vietnam quietly severed my parents' 10-year marriage and made the backcountry the only place he was at peace. Knowing him at all after that meant spending time in the woods. So, as often as she could, my grandmother drove me from the Kansas City burbs to the Shawnee National Forest, where her only surviving son guided hikes and raft trips. Graham made those journeys seem like a gift rather than a burden, so I saw them that way too. I thought she, if anybody, would understand this job transfer from Gateway Arches in St. Louis to the newly minted Horse Thief Trail National Park in Oklahoma's Winding Stair Mountains. But now I wonder if she sees history repeating itself. Another 30-year-old parent running from pain instead of dealing with it. Another helpless kid caught in the tailwind. Is this relocation a reckless escape attempt? Or a smart...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?